this guy.
I'll give Brett a moment more to get set up.
Oh.
Okay.
Now we're ready.
He's
that,
ready.
That must be ready to go now. Rosie, whenever you're ready.
Right.
Oh, you are ready. Okay, are we rolling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Okay, we'll call the City Council meeting, Common Council meeting to order. It's April 9th. It is 7:02 p.m. If you'll please stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigel, absent. Warwick,
here.
Romine,
here.
Penrod,
here.
Simpson,
here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last City Council meeting. That was on March 26th. Were there any changes or corrections that needed to take place? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion. We approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Before we get to the public hearing, I wanted to give you an update a little bit of what happened at the Board of Works meeting in regards to the trash contract, because I know that's something that is real important and was a kind of a central topic for the last Board of Works meeting. The Board of Works accepted the bid packet from Advanced Disposal, and what that allowed us to do, and that was a recommendation from the Trash Committee. And what that allowed us to do is for the Board of Works to approve a $1 decrease in trash rates per household per month. So that will take the rate from $9.50 down to $8.50. I think that's a good thing we can do for our customers. And then also allow for free appliance and tire pickup during trash, our annual cleanup days, as long as they still register so that we know where to pick the stuff up at. And again, we kind of push for the individuals if they have, you know, refrigerators or whatever, to register the day before, because there's individuals that pick up that metal and then go take it to a scrap yard or whatever. So, and then also we would keep the per bag, if you will, the extra bag of, so individuals can buy those extra bags for additional trash, keep that price at $1 per extra bag. So what in discussing with Marcia and Rosie, what I think I'd like to do is to kind of get a concurrence from you that rate decrease is a good thing, or that is something you want us to move forward on. We feel like at the rate that was given by Advanced Disposal, as well as the decrease in rates that we're able to give to our customers, that will be enough money that we can continue to provide the citywide cleanup for our residents and through a street department and things like that, and be able to also provide get rid of the fees for appliances and tires. So, first of all, do you have any questions about that trash rate change? I think it's a really good thing for our customers, and
you
know, anytime we can try to decrease rates is what we want to try to do. So,
So will we keep the same trash cans, or will they have to
Will be changed over. Our current trash contract is with National Serval Republic Services. And we'd be going with the new company, which is Advanced Disposal. They actually have a landfill, if you will, over in Claypool. So it's pretty close access. They used to be Veolia,
right,
if you're familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good thing that we're able to do that.
And that change takes effect.
A change would take effect, is it
July 1?
Okay. So we'll be, yes, July 1. So we'll be working with both companies in the transition. I guess I'd just like to, you know, comment that our customers, there probably is going to be about a week or two or three there that's going to be a little touch and go, because we'll be changing out one company for another company. But we're going to work hard to make sure that transition is as smooth as possible and be able to provide as much instruction to our customers about how that transition will take place as we can. So, other questions about that? Okay, very good. So, if I could I have a motion to concur with the Board of Works rate decrease for trash per customer per month? Thank you.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you for concurring with that. I think it's a, I think it's a really good move for us. And again, we got a very competitive bid from Advanced Disposal, and they're excited to start working in Columbia City. They actually work in, I'm trying to remember some of the other towns. South Whitley is one of them.
Manchester,
Pearson, maybe Pearson. I'm trying to remember, but a lot of the communities around us that that use that service. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good thing. I know that Buzz Krohn, our financial person, is heading this way. So we'll have him do the presentation prior to the public hearing of the IURC. But in I guess respect for him, I think I'd like to jump down and then come back to it just to make sure that he has the opportunity to present as some of you requested. So I'd like to jump down real quick, and I thank you for those of you who are here. I want to make sure that we kind of try to stay in order here. So I'd like to jump down to Ordinance 2013, which is the regulation of strip clubs, very quickly. And talk about that before we go to the IURC thing to give Buzz just another tick of time to get here. So that's Ordinance 2013-11. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read 2013-11 by title only.
Ordinance 2013-11. An ordinance prohibiting nude and semi-nude acts in commercial establishments by the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Okay. This was obviously something that it was spurred by the City of Angola and the issues that they've had legally when it comes to strip clubs and trying to keep those things out of their local community. Were there any questions, comments, discussion, things that you've heard or things that you want to bring up in regards to that ordinance change? No? Okay. Then if there's nothing else, then if we could have a motion to approve.
Make a motion we approve Ordinance 2013-11 on second reading.
Okay.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay, then we've approved the strip club ordinance, if you will. Okay. Tom, will you grab the sign-in sheet for me so that I know who, so I can answer questions or bring people up if they need to? That'd be great. Yes, thank you. Thank you, sir. Can you also make sure that the microphone is on?
Yeah, I turned it
on. Oh, you did turn it on? Okay, great.
Make sure.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that good? Okay. Okay, so at the last last reading of the Ordinance 2013-13 and 2013-14, which is the water and electric jurisdiction, removal from water and electric jurisdiction at the IURC, there was a lot of talk about, and I'll try to condense this here, but there was a lot of talk about specifically how 400 out of 450 municipal water utilities had opted out and 65 of 72 municipal electric utilities had opted out. Over 40 REMCs had opted out recently. Our Northeastern REMC had opted out of the IURC. And that a lot of, I think a lot of the questions that I know, it hasn't been many questions, but the few questions that I've been getting, and I know some of the questions you all have been getting, have to do with the oversight of the city and how that would take place if we are out of the IURC. I know that Buzz will address some of that, and I also know another thing that I think was brought up at the last meeting that was real critical or real important was the Ben, that you had questioned about the 2 to 3%, you know, slow increases based on the last rate increase. What we had heard was we don't want a big, huge rate increase all at once. It's something we'd like to, you know, this residents would like us to stair step in if we have to do an increase. Which I'll say right now, we don't have any water or electric rate increases in mind right now. But in any case, but one of Buzz's responses was, it's not worth the money, if you will, to go in every year for a 2 to 3% rate increase, because under the IURC, we're not allowed to. It's not that we're not allowed to, but when we go down, there's a set fee, no matter if it's a 2% increase or 50% increase. But that being out of the IURC would allow us to stair step in to the process. So, Buzz, you're right on time. Maybe a little late, but you're right on time. So, I guess I want to first then introduce Buzz, and I know you're going to be setting up some stuff, but Buzz has been our financial consultant for Water and Electric for 20 years.
Probably close to 20, I'm thinking.
Okay.
Early 90s.
Mm-hmm. And helps us with, you know, of course, many financial type situations, and has been through this process with many other communities. And I know he was very helpful at the last meeting for me and for the rest of the council and the questions that you all have. So I thought it would be appropriate for him to be here, kind of give us a summarization of what he said last time, and then also just be here to answer any questions that may come up at the public hearing, since, like I said, Buzz has been through a lot of this before. So we will let him do a presentation.
This will just take a second.
That's here. Fine.
How about that? I think we're crooked just... At any rate, does that look crooked?
It is a little crooked.
We're missing just a little part of the screen there. Again, for the record, my name is Buzz Krohn. I'm a certified public accountant. I've worked with Columbia City for about 20 years. I've worked with different cities and towns all over the state of Indiana on financial matters, a lot of them involving utilities. The provision for opting out of the IURC's jurisdiction is not...
Here on the tape.
Okay. It's not a new revelation. There's always been that option. It used to always require a referendum, but back in the early 80s, they made it easier for cities and towns to exercise that option by not necessarily having to go to a referendum. That the city council, there as the electorate, could make that call unless there's a remonstrance, and then it could be put to a ballot. But first let's just talk about what it means and why the city is taking this action now. You'll see a laundry list of various other checks and balances that exist to protect the public, if you will. First of all, the city council has to balance, and the Board of Works have to balance the requirements of the EPA and IDEM and all the mandates that mostly unfunded mandates have with the rates and charges that have to be in place to support those mandates. They don't just willy-nilly set rates wherever they feel like it. They go through a formal process, have professionals like myself and others that specialize in this kind of utility financing and rate making. And the question here is that IURC hoop necessary, and are the costs and benefits worthwhile? Again, that's really the issue on the table. But there is a valid, a good purpose for the IURC, and its origin really stems to protect the public from the potential for you know, being taken advantage of, because it is a monopoly. But there's a big difference between a municipally owned utility and an investor owned utility. By their nature, a municipal utility is a not-for-profit. We're not in business to earn profits, to pay shareholders to dividends, or shareholder dividends and management bonuses and such that you read about in the private sector. The ratepayers are, in fact, the shareholders and the beneficiaries of the whatever the financial condition of the municipal utility is. A municipal utility has access to tax-exempt financing, obviously giving them a lower cost of capital. And the fact that they are not-for-profit, generally rates are less. It's usually the least expensive alternative, and that's why the municipal utility exists, is because they're the best means of delivering those services to the citizens and the customers. The city council has oversight for rates and financing, but there are still a number of other regulatory checks and balances. For instance, the State Board of Accounts will continue to audit the utilities every year. Probably the that will always be the primary check and balance. The commission doesn't do a regular, they don't really get involved in the audit type of investigations that an audit firm would do, or in this case the State Board of Accounts. They review rate filings and financing requests. So that State Board of Accounts checks and balances really the one that scrutinizes making sure that funds are not being misappropriated or used improperly. And that's done every year. That will continue to be done. And to my knowledge, that's never been a problem with Columbia City. You've got a very experienced clerk treasurer. You know, I could say she's probably another check and balance point as well. You've got a board of works. You've usually, you know, the mayor is the elected mayor runs the board of works. You've got the city council. They're all elected officials. And so there are several steps just to get to the point where a utility can make any change in its rate. And there are public hearing requirements such as the one tonight. Here's some statistics that were available in December. We put this together, but since the early 1980s, when the legislature made it more expedient for municipal utilities to exercise that option to get out of the commission, and it's just for jurisdiction on rates and financing. The commission still has a role it plays in regulating the territorial boundaries for electric utilities, and they would continue to do that for Columbia City, and they also now have reporting requirements where they're tracking water resources around the state. Even though all of the municipal utilities and private utilities as well, they have to file reports every month with the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. They call the monthly report of operations, or the MROs. Nobody was keeping track of what the real water resources and demands are in the state, so the one of the things Governor Daniels did in initiating this additional reporting requirement, whether you're regulated or not, they're trying to establish a database that they can track trends and water resources and demands. So that would be another example of there would still be some continued oversight and information exchanging with the commission. It would just be opting out for rates and financing approvals. The rate-making formula for a deregulated municipal utility is identical to the rate-making formula if it were a regulated utility. And in fact, the municipal sewage works here in Columbia City has never been subject to the IURC jurisdiction, and neither are any other municipal sewage works, because it's a little quirk in the law. It's set up under the public works statute, where the public utility statute that governs electric, water, and gas was really geared for investor-owned utilities. And somehow the municipal sewage works is still in an unregulated environment, and that's probably one of your most significant utility bills, other than the electric, obviously, but it's expensive. To water and wastewater are very capital intensive utilities. People don't see them. It's all underground. Take them for granted and so forth until you have to change rates. Then obviously it gets people's attention. But at any rate, the rate making formula will still be the same, and basically the Indiana code says that the rates shall be sufficient. If you're a municipal utility, it's really worded that shall be, not an option, to cover cash operating expenses, working capital needs, depreciation and capital improvement allowances, debt service reserve, and then it also allows you to make payments in lieu of property taxes to the city general fund. And it also allows you to earn a return on plant. The utility, Columbia City Utilities, is not in a return on plant situation. In fact, the water utility, we're basically financed. What's built into water rates is the cash operating expenses, depreciation, and debt service. So we're covering the minimum ones that have to be covered, and again, right now there are no retained earnings in the water utility. The time it took to get through this process over the course of the last year and a half, that time lag is what really was the biggest cost for the city, because during that time it took about an extra 8 or 9 months to get through the regulatory process, and we lost that opportunity where they needed that increase each month. They lost 9 months of revenue. And that's what's brought this to a head again tonight. This has been discussed in past years, and it was deemed appropriate after this last experience to go ahead and try to take this action at this time. Again, these are the regulatory bodies that will still continue to have jurisdiction over the utilities. Primarily, State Board of Accounts is really the financial and compliance audit that they do every year. That's really the primary checkpoint to make sure that utility funds aren't being used inappropriately. That really comes from the State Board of Accounts, not necessarily the IURC. The Indiana Department of Environmental Management and EPA, obviously they're more concerned that with the quality of the level of wastewater and water treatment for utilities, they're less concerned about the cost of that, but I can assure you that this group up here is concerned about that cost, and they all live in Columbia City, pay those same rates, and they have the same motive that any other ratepayer and citizen in Columbia City has to manage things to a point where we can minimize cost of service. and then looking at what happened in this last rate case, basically the actual cost, I've kind of got a side-by-side comparison here. If we were in an unregulated environment, which is depicted on the right side, the city has a lot better capability to reacting to economic downturns than it would in a regulated environment. And instead of taking, you know, 9 to 12 or 15 months to get through a rate case at the commission, theoretically it could happen in as little as, you know, three or four months. So the time savings is the most significant. There are cost savings too that are real, but the biggest problem that we ran into with this last process was that it took 8 months of additional regulatory lag to get our order approved. And in that 8 month period of time, instead of, you know, funding what we need going forward, we were still digging a deeper hole. And again, that's the reason that this has come to a point once again here. So we come back to that same scenario, and you know, is this hoop really necessary? Are the costs worth the benefits? And I think that's what the council has been deliberating on, I know, and the mayor and the clerk treasurer have been very much hands-on with that process over the last year and a half. The council, I'm not speaking for the council, but I think the reason this is up tonight is they feel that cost could be better used to do other things with the utility that are adding value. And at that point, Mayor, do you have any comments you want to add? Or
I added some prior to you arriving, but you know, one of the things I was talking about when you walked in was the ability to phase in, you know, potential increases in the future, rather than hitting a 20% or 25% shock.
And that's part of the reason that it's such an onerous task right now that municipal utilities don't want to have to go through that expense of time and effort for a minor, you know, and a 3% inflation adjustment. If we did periodic inflation adjustments that are smaller and more timely, that's probably better understood and received by the customers than going 8 or 10 years. I think the electric utility went 18 years or something like that in between rate increases. And again, it doesn't mean there's going to be a flurry of rate increases if the city opts out. In fact, there are none on the horizon, and that's why, you know, this is, you know, a better time to maybe address this than it would be if we were in a situation where we needed to get a rate increase right away. But all our foreseeable increases are really behind us right now. We're really looking at 3 to 5 years down the road, more than likely,
for electric and water,
where this would really have a real benefit. But it's a better time to do it and understand why we're doing it than to wait until you've got to do both things concurrently. But again, it'll save the city money. It'll save the city time in being able to react to the speed of business. Government doesn't move fast in general, but this will help streamline things and perhaps maybe allow that process to be more efficient, cost effective. And you still got the same people on the hoof. The elected councils are the folks that ultimately have to pass those ordinances, whether it's a regulated utility or a non-regulated utility.
Okay. Thanks, Buzz. Council, do you have any questions of Buzz? I know we got a lot of them answered last week, but I want to just give you an opportunity here. Okay? Thank you. If you stick around just to,
if there's questions, maybe Rosie,
the council, whoever can't necessarily answer, that we have the expert on hand here. So. Okay, so what I will now do is I will recess the city council common council meeting and open up the public hearing for the removal of the water and electric utilities from the jurisdiction of the IURC. I have some of the names of individuals here, but if you are interested in speaking, please give your name and your address, and we will allow you a couple minutes to speak. And so that we can make sure that everyone gets a chance and an opportunity. I'll kind of go down the list here and see if any of the individuals. Patricia, are you interested in speaking?
Yeah, sure. Okay. There?
Yeah. Is it about the IURC thing?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, please do.
Hi, my name is Patricia Riggs. Do I get my address too?
If you could, just for the record.
15989 Symphony Boulevard, Noblesville, Indiana, 46060. I'm a terrible public speaker. But anyway, what I'm here about is I'm the owner of Pulse Fitness and Dance Studio. We are coming to Columbia City. We're going to be residing at 1080 Spartan Drive. It's over by McDonald's, for those of you that aren't familiar with the address. But what we are is we are a pole dance fitness studio. We will be teaching women to dance. It's not to be confused with erotic dancing. That's not what we do. There will be no stripping. And what I want is I basically want the city to stand behind us and support us as we empower women. It's been a huge life-changing experience for me. It changed my life after the birth of my daughter. I regained confidence. I lost over 80 pounds. So basically, I just want the city's support and that.
Okay.
I didn't know if any questions. Okay. Does anybody have any?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Rich.
Yeah. Just got a few comments.
Yeah.
I'm here. Excuse me.
First of all, my name's Rich Ritterman. I live in Warsaw. Don't hold it against me. But I own investment property here, a little mobile home park and some storage units.
Okay.
And in some other communities. Sometimes I feel like when I'm dealing with the city, it kind of, the line that comes up is, what we have here is a failure to communicate. I got that letter back in December, and it said a 45% increase, or 44.45%. And I'm going, boy, that's a huge increase all at once. And a lot of our folks out at the mobile home park are on SSI or Social Security, and they're paying their own utilities. In a sense, it's not affecting me at all because they're paying their own utilities. On the other hand, if they can't afford to pay their utility bills and pay their lot rent, then it's affecting me. And I didn't realize that I read the State Board of Accounts audit, and it appears that the water rates were too low to meet the sufficient cash needs. But when I got that letter, it kind of ticked me off a little bit. So I said, 10 people in Remonstrate, I can find 10 people easy. Just go right down to the mobile home park and say, do you want a 45% increase in your rates? None of them did. So to the extent that that costs the city money, that kind of bothers me. On the other hand, I didn't realize it was going to take that long to go through the process. The Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission has this sister agency called the Indiana Office of Utility Consumer Counselor, and they're supposed to be the ones looking out for the consumers, and they've got the accountants and lawyers and things, and that's kind of why I went through there, because they could review these things. I don't see quite that degree of in these other oversight committees. For example, the State Board of Accounts, I talked with, interesting enough, Charlie Pride, not the singer.
Yeah.
He's a real nice guy, and they do a fine job of auditing the books, but they really make sure that the rates that are approved are what's done, and then they make recommendations. Unless there's fraud or stealing or something, you don't even have to do the recommendations. That's what he told me. But I guess I am a little bit concerned that the water falls under the Indiana Office of Utility Consumer Counselor, and the sewer doesn't, but our water rates are some of the lowest, or were, and our sewer rates are some of the highest. And when I was trying to get information, this is what we're talking about, communication, I wanted to know, what's the combined rate? Because if you got a low water rate, but your sewer rate's really high, you're paying both of them. As far as I know, you can't just get water and say, no, I don't want the sewer. And so I asked for that several times through my councilman, and eventually he did get that to me, and he said somewhere in the middle. Would that be correct, Ben?
Yes.
We're kind of in the middle. And
Combined,
right. So I guess the main thing I'd like to say is the more communication, the better. I just have a concern that, like I said, this utility consumer counselor has people that are supposed to be specialists in this area and doing the oversight. But after looking at the State Board of Accounts audit and everything, I could see why a water increase was needed. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate your comments.
Excuse me.
Michael and Melanie? No? No comments? Okay. Thank you. Barry?
No.
No comments? Okay. Dick?
Dick Goodwin, 1629 East Bear Road, north of Columbia City. I'm not a Columbia City water user. I have a well, but that's beside the point.
We can provide it for you if you'd like to.
You pipe it out there, I'll use her.
Awesome.
At
hear
no
that,
charge.
Mike?
At no charge.
Oh, at no charge. That's a little different.
No lineal foot fees. Or I've got no problem with the city saving money. As I expressed myself last 2 weeks when I was here, to be very crystal clear about this, it's obvious to me from the gentleman who's got the water, the mobile home park, that it hasn't been made crystal clear with him. The IURC did step in the last time when the rate increase was there and was 40%. Now, it got dropped because of what they did. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But it still got dropped. That meant a lot when I'm listening what's going on tonight. They obviously did something, or the city of Fort Wayne, Columbia City, wouldn't have backed off on it. But you did at that time. I had some questions on the $320,000 that you mentioned. It got cleared up pretty good on the screen tonight, so I'm not going to go there. I think the council is moving entirely too fast on this, because it involves every taxpayer within Columbia City, not just a few. Everybody here, you guys, the rest of us, we're all being involved in this. I'm not worried too much about this group here, but it's future groups of elected officials, that we're handing away our trust to you to raise the water and sewer rates at your will, not at our will. And the IURC has been a watchdog group for the general public. It's an expensive watchdog group, but it's been proven over a period of time that it's been necessary in some cases, and it's been a backlog in other cases. So, again, I wish that you would just back off a little bit and not, I mean, you've been, you've publicized this for 4 weeks, and that you're going to raise it tonight or opt out tonight. And I still think you need to take more time to inform the public.
Okay.
That's all I'm asking for. Thank you very much.
Is it Richard?
Yes.
Okay.
One thing I have is, like Dick,
I know each some of these councilmen personally. I don't have a problem here. What happens 10, 15 years? I'm asking the council to look at it and even make an ordinance. There's a cap. They can't go 50%. You know, there's only a cap at a time. I'm asking you to make some spell outs, I guess you say, and how it would work. And like you said, we're giving you our trust, and most of us does. We've been very blessed in our community through the years and have strong leadership, strong head of our departments, is use our resources very wisely. And also, as our taxes and our investments, we never know what the future is going to go. That's what I asked of the council, to make some guidelines today as you look at this, that in the future we still can, as citizens, feel protected. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. And Terry, I don't have you on here, but I figured that you'd have you'd want an opportunity to speak.
I never do.
I know you too well, Terry.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Terry Smith, and I do not live in Columbia City, but I do have a commercial property here, and I do pay water, sewer, lights. I even pay my own trash pickup. You guys don't even pick up my trash.
For commercial, you're correct.
I just have a couple of comments or questions, and the questions are rhetorical questions. I really don't want an answer to them. Has the State Board of Accounts ever challenged a rate increase? Unlike the IURC that does challenge them, the State Board of Accounts, that financial overseer, doesn't challenge rate increases. I've never heard of that happening, and I don't think Mr. Buzz here would be able to point to any event like that. Have you ever heard of a rate decrease? What a novel idea that would be. IURC forced one on you by reducing the rate, the increase that you had asked for, but nobody, except maybe for trash hauling, but not water and sewer. And the last time I was here, I really was speaking for the grandmotherly type referenced this evening on the fixed income. The rate of inflation for Social Security purposes is less than 1%. The real rate of inflation, when you include the cost of food and transportation, is in excess of 10%. And you want to raise the rates 3% incrementally, when grandma gets a 1% increase in her Social Security and she gets a 3% increase, and when she goes to the grocery store she gets a 10% increase. It seems like nobody cares anymore. We need money. We're going to take it out of somebody's pocket, and we don't consider what effect that's going to have on your customers. Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else like to give their opinion? Okay. Hearing none, actually, I want to, council members, do you have anything else to add before we close the public hearing? We'll go to the actual reading of the ordinances here in a moment, but I want to give you guys another opportunity to speak if you'd like.
Well, first of all, I apologize for coming in late. I had a little marathon game that lasts a lot longer than I anticipated. But one thing in hearing what was being said here is that I believe this council takes it to heart to the extreme when it comes to looking at rate increases. We were entrusted, like I said in the previous meeting, we were entrusted to ensure that people have water, clean water to drink, toilets to flush, lights to turn on, and safety. And we take it very, very seriously when we analyze our our rate increases, which are basically are due because of, and I know nobody likes to hear it, but it's mandates. We have to meet those. We don't have an option. Unfortunately, I wish we could tell them, you know, where to go with those, but we don't have that privilege. We don't have the privilege to do that. And we take it extremely serious when we look at these things. I mean, it comes out of my back pocket, too. I don't have a whole lot to give extra either. I mean, we're all in the same boat. So when we look at these things, you know, we look at them having to come out of our pocket as well. So in order to keep things moving the way everybody appreciates their services, because we do have extremely responsible department heads, and, you know, we're pretty lucky. We are really lucky in the fact that we do have concerned council members and we do have extremely concerned department heads. We're very lucky in that area. So, you know, opting out of this thing is a cost savings to us, and that's one of the things, you know, we were, when I was walking door to door, that's one of the things that they asked us to do. You know, look at these things. What can we do to save our people, you know, save our taxpayers money? You know, what can we do to save ourselves money when we're trying to run a business? We don't have a CEO. We don't have, you know, stockholders that are waiting to cash in on profits on this. You know, this is what, we just don't have that. So we have to be extremely frugal in what we're doing. So, yes, we do take it very seriously. And so some of these decisions that we are making is for the best interest of our city, because we live here and our family and friends also live here. And that's the biggest thing that we got over somebody that lives in, at the state or federal level. You know, we have, because I have to answer to my mother-in-law and father-in-law, those people. I mean, that happens. And so that's what makes a difference by being a local government.
I know one thing we also take into account when it comes to rate increases is the economic impact. You know, we've been in discussion many different past meetings of when we raise, you know, when we raised water rates, what that meant not only to, you know, the utilities in general, but what it meant to the economy and how that's playing out. And you know, something that, you know, obviously Terry had mentioned earlier was about, you know, a 3% increase or whatever. And, you know, obviously, for clarity's sake, obviously, we're not looking for an increase right now. But, you know, I do think it's important for us as elected officials to have that ability to phase in stuff, to phase in increases when necessary. And again, as I said at the last meeting, it's important to understand that we don't do rate increases until they're absolutely necessary, until our funds are in the red. I mean, we do everything we can do up to a certain point, and that's when we have to start looking at rate increases. A perfect example of that, and again, I don't want to muddy the water, because sewer is not an IURC regulated utility, and I think Rich had spoke on that. The mandates that Dan has talked about coming down the pipe, and you all know it. We've seen the sewer study, and we've done all that kind of stuff. We know that we're going to need to spend upwards of $12 to $14 million in the next 10 years on our sewer utilities to upgrade them, to get them to federal code. We know that. We are under a mandated federal order to do that, court order to do that. And so it's something we don't like to talk about, but if it's something that we can, I apologize, I don't know, I thought that was on mute. Anyways, but I think it's something that we have to handle, if we can piece it in instead of having 160 or 70 or 150% increase at once. You know, that's what I hear from our residents. They don't want higher rates. I don't want higher rates. You guys have told me how much you agonize over higher rates, and I 100% agree with that. Our department heads agonize over higher rates. Unfortunately, there are times where we have no other choice. So having the flexibility of being able to do that is important. You know, I personally obviously think this is a step in the right direction. It is a cost savings. I think having the ability, and again, as I've said in the last meeting, we are the ones that are getting the customer complaints. We are the ones that are hearing from our mothers and grandfathers and whoever else, our friends, about those rate increases. And we are the ones that take into account when we talk about rates and we talk about bonds and we talk about things like that, we take into account customers' complaints, comments, things to that effect. And so I just think it's important that we kind of have a little bit more say in the process here, rather than being strong-armed by somewhere else in the state. So that's what I'll say about that.
I think it's important to note that we do actually care about the people and the senior citizens and everybody, because while the senior citizens are getting their 1% increase, some employees are getting a 0% increase, people that are still working. And small business people maybe are getting cut in their wages because maybe they have to keep their fees the same and are losing customers because of the economy and stuff. But we also have to look at our utility and keeping it solvent, because if we don't, then it could be taken over by a private, I forget the phrase, but by a private company. And that's not something I think we want to get into. I just think it's important that we keep our utility and keep it solvent.
Okay. Anything else?
I've got someone.
Yeah.
Buzz, the difference that it was brought up a couple of different times on how IURC, that their involvement lowered our rate. What was the, when the boot hit the ground, what was the result
of that?
I
think there's some confusion because the 45% was not the water one at all. I think there's confusing kind of the what may be going on with the wastewater rates, and those are much more extreme than what we're talking about with the water rates.
Yeah.
It was like for an average customer's bill, it was 74 cents was the differential in what was requested and what didn't, you know, what
74
was approved.
Cents a month?
Yes. That was the difference. It was the difference between 36 and 33%.
So 3% is what they dropped.
That was the difference between what was originally proposed and what was ultimately approved. I think the 45% was wastewater, and mm-hmm. and that's
what the letter says here.
Oh, it isn't.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It says 45%.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's your letter, Rich? I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Down at the bottom there, if you read that, and again, it's communication. It sounds like it's water rates.
That's the way I understood it.
Was that maybe for the public hearing when it was originally?
You know what? I think this was. Ultimately, what we ended up filing for was 36%. So.
But that does kind of, you know, if you just read it as a consumer, you kind of get the impression that's what you agree with that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Okay.
Rich, I completely agree with you. I think our communication in the past has been not great, and I really seriously been trying to find ways. We have radio. Actually, there'll be something new coming up here where residents will have more opportunity. So we've been looking for all kinds of ways to interact and discuss. And
Buzz, can we see that?
Actually, I do remember what this. It was the same numbers. It was. There was a difference in there was a minor change between when we originally authorized the filing and what ultimately got filed. But so the notice was overkill. But what ultimately the numbers really ended up being the difference between 36 and 33%. And it was 74 cents on an average bill. But I believe that there were some changes made after this notice was published and what actually got filed.
And I think something, if I remember right, about that water rate adjustment that we had, one of the things that the council worked really hard to do was to cut back on the bond amount. Remember, I mean, I think we cut it back by a couple hundred thousand dollars, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So, I mean, I apologize. I really don't know where this is coming from, so I'm going to disconnect.
But in a letter like that, we have to publish or post,
yes,
or notify the absolute highest that it could,
yes,
be, and then we can go down from there.
Yes.
Because if we,
you can't go over what,
right,
you advertised.
So we have to, like you said, it has to be over.
Yeah, and that was back in 2011 when that. Mm-hmm. So Ryan, you were in the shoe there somewhere,
yeah.
But
I don't remember. It depends on when in 2011.
But like you say, on the wastewater side, you have had you're a combined sewer overflow community, and you're not alone there either. There's the wastewater costs of separating sewers in old sewer communities is enormous, but that's an unfunded mandate. Like I say, the water rate for an average water customer is about $26 a month right now. That's extremely good. I think if you looked at American Water, it's about $44 a month. So
there are a lot of surrounding communities.
That's why you're a municipal.
Yeah, and that's so with a 33% increase.
That's after the 33% increase. It's $26.
And if I understand correctly, the whole point of this is so that it's financially feasible then to increase rates at significantly lower percentages.
Yeah, it doesn't mean
there's one big one we're doing. We would be able to do smaller. Mm-hmm. A 3% versus a 33%.
Any other?
I'm not saying we would do that every year.
No.
Yeah.
No. Again, we have no interest in doing that.
But it wouldn't cost us $300,000 to do a 3% increase.
Okay. Then we will conclude the public hearing. And begin again the city council meeting. Ordinance 2013-13, which is the removal of water jurisdiction from the IURC. It's the second reading. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read 2013-13 by title only.
Ordinance 2013-13. An ordinance amending Chapter 52, Water Service, of Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances for the City of Columbia City, Indiana, relating to the removal of the city's water utility from the jurisdiction of the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission.
Okay. The ordinance is up for any further discussion or anything else you'd like to say, add, or motion?
Well, one of the citizens had asked if there was a way to put in a cap.
Mm-hmm.
Is that legal? I mean, can that be done, or have you seen that done?
A cap of how much to raise the rate?
Yeah, at one time.
Well, my concern with that, the issue I have with that, I guess, is that if the concern is that a future council is for some reason going to consider a huge rate increase, they would simply pass an ordinance to do away with
the
whatever
ordinance.
The limit was
to amend the ordinance
before they did the rate increase. So it seems
well, as a follow-up to that, any future council could opt out of the IURC.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Or could opt actually
right, right.
Could opt back,
back
in.
Back in.
That's correct.
Right.
Could opt back in.
So well, I guess my point is I don't think that us passing an ordinance saying that it limits the rate is any protection at all against future rate increases, because that's just a simply extra step to remove it, to raise the rates. The real advantage that ratepayers have and the protection from the council is that they're also voters, from my standpoint. And if they do not like what their elected officials are doing, then they simply vote them out.
Someone.
I think that's the ultimate protection in a democracy, is that if they're not doing what you want them to do, then you remove them.
Now, if I recall from reading the RMC's literature they put out when they opted out, if there was a situation where a utility was really overcharging, the IURC can come back and take over. Is that correct?
Yeah, that'll be there. You know, I'm really not sure how to answer that. If the RMC has a different set,
I don't know. Mike DeFrew had given us a bunch of information.
I know
on their research.
There are other avenues. I mean, it's not like you can always take to court. I think that would, REMC may have some different provisions with respect to the opting out issue, but there are, if you try to do the inside outside rate issue, has some provisions where if you try to impose a rate differential more than 15% to a outside of the city user, now you'd have to go, or you could potentially be subject to IURC review for that type of violation. With respect to how you treat all of your users, I'm not sure IMC has a different set of rules on that than the unions, but I know you can opt back in. There are opportunities for civil court actions, things of that nature. But I apologize if I don't have the answer to your specific situation there.
Yeah, Dick.
There seems to be a mistrust going on here, and it's what I have feared from day one. We, the ratepayers, are saying, give us a cap, and you that can do it and say, well, we can change this anytime we want. We can opt back in, mm-hmm. We can do this. A rate cap would not be out of line to say, okay, the council agrees with our customers, says, okay, we will cap it at 5% a year maximum if we decide to go along with this. The reason why I ask you to take some more time to think this thing over, because we're out here not able to make this decision, and we've asked you to make the decision, and now you're walking on that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind, though, is that any kind of ordinance would take two readings at two separate meetings, so we couldn't do that today in one reading anyways. And if we wanted to put, and I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad idea, I'm just saying that usually all ordinances are drafted up by our attorney to make sure that they fit state statute and all those kind of good things, and it would take, and it could be something that this council could, and I don't want to speak for you all, but it could be something that the council wants to take into consideration in the future, maybe next meeting. I don't know.
So we can pass the ordinance and then put attachments later as far as...
Well, no. What I'm saying is if you were to do what they're asking for, that would be a separate ordinance, because it would go in a separate portion of the Columbia City Code of Ordinances mm-hmm. book. Mm-hmm. So
you couldn't consider that an amendment to this ordinance?
An amendment of that nature, I personally would feel appropriate to have two different readings on.
I actually agree with that. The other, because one of the things you want to consider when you are looking at a cap, and I actually thought that was an interesting thought, is that there are factors that you have to take into consideration when you're making your rate changes. So you'd have to factor that in if you're drafting the language, you know, for the cap, so that you don't also make that cap too low, because you have to meet certain requirements when you're making those changes. I think actually, Buzz, don't you have a slide that actually, I think, set forward some of those factors as well, if I recall that was
on the slide that I showed
you. Yeah. And so, but I think that the cap is an interesting thought. I don't know whether it can be done or not, but I'm, you know, if the council says research this and get on it, then I'll do that.
I would request a delay on the acceptance of this ordinance then until that was taken care of.
I would like to see that.
Yeah,
you'd
be separate. It'd be separate from opting out of the IURC, though. Yeah. I mean, it should be, a separate.
I personally see that as two separate issues.
Because opting out is a process.
Agree,
like we would not, if we were thinking of raising rates right now, we would not include a rate increase ordinance with this IURC ordinance.
No, it would have to be a separate ordinance. Yes.
So when you're talking about rates and you're talking about opting out, it's two separate things.
Yes.
I agree. I mean, that is intriguing to take a look at, to see that way. That does give some of that, you know, them some protection, or, you know, if they're distrusting what we're looking at. And
well, I don't think the mistrust is in this particular group of council. well, we're worried about the future, Council. We don't know what's going to happen, and neither do you.
But that's my point, is, and I'm not trying to say that I'm worried about us having a cap, but I think that what concerns me is that anybody would think that would provide any protection, because I don't see it doing that. Any future council would simply be able to push that aside with a vote and then move on. I think that it would provide for lack of a better term, a false sense of security to the ratepayers that, you know, we're going to have this protection, when it really isn't much of a protection at all.
It would give you some comfort as long as we're sitting here.
Yeah, but
here.
We don't have any protection as it is. You can change anything you want.
But that was my point earlier, is that you do have a protection. You vote us in and you vote us out, and that is the ultimate protection. Unlike any unit in Annapolis that doesn't really care what happens in this community one way or another, the people here, I believe, historically have. And hope that the public continues to vote folks in that do. You know, I'm afraid that kind of cap doesn't really provide the protection I think that you're looking for. Is my concern.
But it's still separate from this. Whether we do it or not, it's still separate
from
this.
Whether we do it or not, yes, I agree with that.
Okay, any other comments or questions about the ordinance, or is there a motion, or?
Well, I have a question. If we were to, well, kind of a question for you, too. If we were to postpone this, mm-hmm. would we just table it tonight and bring it next month, or how long, what are you talking about, like waiting how long? Because it's been how long that we've been talking about?
The letter went out the 1st of March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been over a month now.
It's a big decision for 1 month, that's all I'm getting. That affects everybody in town.
But I've gotten no comments from anybody in the public, other than the folks
these
here.
Right here.
I've gotten no comments from anybody in the public on this issue.
I've gotten two.
I have not.
We're basically asking why. I've had two people call me and ask, you know, why. And once we explain it, you know, after listening to the buzz, explanation and, you know, doing some research, you know, they seem to be, you know, understanding, we'll say, you know, what we're trying to accomplish.
I'll say with the four people that I've discussed with, after discussing it and basically giving a brief synopsis of what Buzz has explained, they're all fine with it. Okay.
Do you think 6 months?
No. I don't want to get ridiculous with
Well, I'm just adding.
We are talking about people's money.
Yeah.
No, I don't disagree with you. We've gotten that comment from a couple other people wanting us to delay it.
Yeah, I just, last time I was here, I said, please be very crystal clear with people. I frankly haven't seen that clarity. And you're obviously not reaching a lot of people with why you want to do the opting out, so that you have more control over the utility. And that's what it amounts to. It's the council taking control of the utility and rate increasing when they feel fit to do it. That's the bottom line.
But Dick, and you know, I respect you a lot. I disagree with the assertion that we've not necessarily been reaching people. I think there's a lot of individuals that frankly don't care. I think we see that in almost every ordinance that we pass that goes across the desk here. I think there is, like I said, I think there are individuals out there that have questions. And when approached or when emailed or when, you know, when I got on the radio or things like that, we've tried to answer those questions to the best of our ability. I guess I'm just wondering what another 2 weeks, 4 weeks, what that actually is going to do if, in a month's worth of time from the moment that we had the letter until now, we've only received, you know, probably a total combined 10, you know, obviously with you guys,
well,
maybe 15 comments.
I'm not disputing that at all.
Yeah.
On the federal level, mm-hmm. let's pass it so we can see what's in it.
See what's in it. I understand.
We've all heard that. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want to do the same thing, so we're just trying to be a little bit more careful.
Okay.
So by presenting our concerns, mm-hmm. allows you to make the right decisions.
There would not be another public hearing, though, right?
there wouldn't be another public. I mean, you could have one if you wanted.
But
yeah, there's the statutory requirements is one public hearing. So I mean, I don't really mind. I mean, if you want to delay it another 2 weeks, we can do that and see if you get more comments and more questions. And like I said, I can speak more about it in my mayor's memo and try to get more information out in that way. So.
Has either one of the press done a write-up on it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Post-A-Mail's done two or three, I think, and Jennifer hasn't yet. But.
Well, I'll make a motion that we table it till the next meeting.
Okay.
If we're going to do that, then I think we should have another public meeting at the next meeting.
Okay.
Can you have another?
Buzz?
Do you have another two public?
I mean, I think you've covered your legal requirement by having this one, but
Well, every meeting's public.
And to be fair, though.
Okay, I guess what I'm wondering, I just want to make sure they have the opportunity to speak is what I'm looking
for. Yes. Well, remember, last week, you know, Dick was here, and it wasn't a public hearing, and we still allowed him to speak.
We always do.
So I don't think.
That works for me.
So it may not be an official public hearing, but if people come with concerns or questions, sure.
So my motion is to table it until the next meeting.
I think what we're asking as a community is some type of action. Possibly Simpson might be right. It might be false security with ordinance. When you look at a committee of the community members, when we look at rate increases, there's a lot of ways to look at community involved decision. It's not against you guys. Mm-hmm. It's really not. You wouldn't be there in them, see, so we didn't vote you there. But we are asking for some insight. But these guys over here are asking for things. It's your responsibility to give it to them. The heat's going to get on.
But again, I think you're talking about two different things, because talking about getting out of the IURC is different than talking about when we set rates and how much. So if we just deal with this first and deal with that later.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can I add something? Because that's a great point. And it reminded me of in Huntingburg, Indiana, they established a utility rate advisory board in conjunction with opting out of the commission. And they appointed, lay representatives. I think they had a banker, one of the industrial representatives, and a cross section of folks that would then make recommendations to the Board of Works and Council, so that there was. That's the only one, but that reminded me of that, and that might be the type of.
We actually do have one of those in the ordinances. Okay. In the ordinance, I can't remember the last time that it was in effect. I mean, meaning that we actually had a group of individuals that did that. It's been multiple administrations ago.
Yeah, we do have one.
But so if we opt out of this, we can reactivate that without.
We could yeah.
I think that may be kind of the situation that gives some, another local checkpoint.
That's fine.
And
that seems to be a good idea to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can get you, I'll get, if you've already got one,
yeah.
You just haven't activated it.
It's been dormant,
yeah.
I say it that way.
I think that, but how you, maybe do you do that as an amendment to this ordinance?
Well, I think it's already an ordinance, we just need to activate it, right? We just need to start it up.
So
I will say I've been looking at it. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out logistically how that works, so.
But I think there is at least one other community that has that type of a thing, and again, I think that might be the win-win solution here, mm-hmm. to kind of still give that extra step but not have to go through all the hoops downtown.
Okay. So I had a motion on the floor.
To postpone it.
Okay, to postpone it till
next
so
meeting.
2 weeks until the next meeting, until the next city council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Ben seconded it. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign.
One question.
Okay.
Does that table both of them?
Well, we'll have to do another table, so, okay. So, usual sign, okay, it's unanimous. Okay, so then we'll go to, we still have to have a reading, I believe. Can we, or can we just table it?
What, do you want a second reading now and then a third?
Doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't really matter. Okay, well, let's just have it. Let's have another reading. Can I have a motion to read 2013-14 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Jackie. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read 2013-14 by title only.
An ordinance amending Chapter 50, Electric Service, of Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, relating to the removal of the city's electric utility from the jurisdiction of the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission.
Okay. So this is the electric side, and I'm assuming you want to also delay that one.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
Nicole motions to delay the meeting for 2 weeks or 2 weeks until the next city council meeting. Ben has seconded the motion. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay, we will delay the second reading, if you will, to 2 weeks from now.
And the purpose of the delay is to
gather additional
information if people want to call or...
And as I said at the last meeting, if individuals have questions, comments, or concerns, they can obviously contact their city council member. They can contact me. They can come in and see me. They can set up a meeting. We can do... I can meet them in Bruja. We can do whatever we need to do. But that is an option on the table. Okay. Next up is the request for use of riverboat funds. We've already passed on second reading the regulation of strip clubs. So we will move to the second, additional request of use of riverboat funds. This actually, there's multiple things that go along with this. I'm glad that Mark's here now. Looking awful red today, Mark. I don't know. but we have multiple things on this. Remember, riverboat funds are casino dollars that come to the city. In the budget session, you approved two police vehicles to come out of the riverboat funds that casino money. This is an additional appropriation out of the riverboat funds. Rosie, do you want to? If there's anything I missed, and then I'll. Kind of let
the other.
Okay, thanks. Tom had discussed the airbags what did I call them? You know, what?
High pressure rescue airbags.
Thank you very much. The high pressure airbags that are used for safety, rescue, things to that effect. As we hear the fire truck go in the background. And if you remember at a conference or at a workshop or a training of some sort, we learned that the the high compression airbags, something like that, was had a lifespan on it that was not known.
They have a lifespan of 10 years. We did not know that.
So... there was, I think, Ben, I think you had asked maybe to find some ways to fund it without taking out a rainy day or things to that effect. So that was one, that was a place. Also, Mark, we actually have a press release that's in the works right now. It won't be coming out probably until next week, but so... Press, if you could keep this under your hat for a moment, I'd really appreciate it. If you don't, you know, do what you got to do. But, Mark?
We received a grant from the DECO Foundation. I'd written a grant about a month ago, and they informed us last week. They're giving us $15,000 to go toward having an outside engineer help us with the planning of our aquatic task force. Their work finding a new aquatic facility. So it's exciting, it's great. And the mayor is able to help us find some of the rest of that money. It's a $31,000 cost to have Martin Riley or an engineering firm help us. So we did have to come up with the rest of that. So that's what this is for.
And that study is a feasibility study to kind of determine location, to determine what our community could support financially, rate structures, things, all kinds of things like that. Ben and Nicole are your representatives, I think, right, on the Aquatics Facility Task Force. So they will be keeping your interest in mind, if you will. Ultimately, any kind of funding, city funding that would go toward an aquatic facility would go through this board, this council. I think, you know, we're probably easily a year away from that. So, but there's still a lot of planning that has to take place going forward. The last thing on there, the trail expansion was actually a bit of a miscommunication in some way, shape, or form between Mark and Rosie and I. In the CCD fund, if you'll remember, I had appropriated $35,000 toward a trail extension for the Blue River Trail to be extended. And in the process of the bridge and the bathrooms that are going back in the park and things to that effect, there was some miscommunication, as well as, is it the pavilion remodel? Was that a part of it?
Yeah. Okay. Mostly the trail.
The trail.
Yeah. The trail bathrooms.
Right. So there was, because we have a lot of different projects going on, there was a question that was asked of me, and I will take full responsibility for this. There was a question asked of me that if they could use the trail expansion dollars for the bathroom facilities in the back of the park. I said yes, and not realizing that it was the dollars that I had appropriated for the trail expansion in this room. So I'm asking for that to basically be reestablished so we can further the trail, the Blue River Trail, from Main Street over to Line Street. I will say I do not believe it's going to take $35,000, but I wanted to make sure if we're going to appropriate that, or if you're going to appropriate that, I got enough that I didn't have to come back to you five times. So, Rosie, just to kind of, can you just give a very brief synopsis of what we have in Riverboat funds?
And I was just looking at it.
Okay. I want to say it's 200.
It's close to like 200,000, 268,000, and it's what we get once a year for the gambling proceeds that are not taxpayers' money. It's gambling money.
And those are dollars that have accumulated over the over some years.
Yeah.
So.
So that's pretty much what it is.
Okay.
If you don't use them a lot, we should try and save it for something special.
Yeah. I'll say these three things I wouldn't have brought up if I didn't think they were important to the development of our community, and obviously the safety in regards to Tom's airbags. So, okay. Any questions about that, Council?
I think the last time we used it was for police cars, and then the time before that, I think we bought some police radios.
Radios. Yep. I agree. I request a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the appropriation of the Riverboat funds for the capital projects presented.
Okay.
I don't care.
Okay. Well, I'll give it to Jackie. So Ben has first the motion, and Jackie has seconded the motion. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you. Appreciate that. We will go to department head reports, and we'll start with Mark.
Okay. I had written down the DECO grant, so we'll go ahead and go with that. We had kind of everything starting tonight at the park with the high school game tonight, the concession stand starting tonight. A lot of work to get the concession stand ready. We had some leaks in our ceiling that last week continually caused us problems. So we got those sort of repaired. So we're ready to go there. Things went well tonight down there. I want to thank the water department. I know they've been at the park a lot lately, helping us find a leak. We ended our season last year with a leak down by the middle of our baseball fields, and we weren't sure where it was at. I think that today we were able to find out exactly where it was coming from. so now we can work on trying to repair it. But I appreciate them helping us out with that. The pavilion work's going well. This will be, by the end of this week, all the walls inside will be completed. So go ahead and come down and take a look at it and kind of get an idea of what it looked like. It's kind of neat to see the progress being made. Baseball softball practices are underway. Teams are practicing. Their uniforms are all in our office, so they'll be getting those soon. Schedules are, for the most part, done. And so kind of taking shape. It's been a lot of work. Melinda and Andrea in our office have really worked hard with the help of some of the committee members helping with those. May 17th is scheduled today, our Mother's Son event at Pages Crossing. So over the next month and a half, we'll be preparing for our second time we've had a Mother's Son event at Pages Crossing. And so people liked that last year. And then opening day for baseball softball is April 27th. So it's a Saturday afternoon. And so if you want to come out, you can see the parade, you can see all of the a lot of sponsors that we have out there. A lot of vendors will be out there. People that are sponsors that serve food will be there. So it'll be a big event.
What time? I think it's 3:30. Is it 3:30?
3:30.
Okay. Questions of Mark?
I just want to reiterate that parade thing for those kids is just absolutely incredible. Those little kids go walking through there, people are cheering for them, and I'll tell you, it's just really cool to watch their chest stick out, and they're just really proud of who they are and what they represent. It's pretty neat.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Mark. Jeff?
Well, carrying on with the Parks and Rec theme, I contacted Niblock last 2 weeks ago regarding they'll be firing up their asphalt plants very shortly, and I wanted to make sure that we were at the front end of the priority list for the completion of the trail extension. I was assured that we are. The thing is, though, that they need to do dirt work and seeding prior to the final asphalt surface application. So it needs to dry out adequately enough to be able to do that. And they assured me that it will definitely be at the forefront of the priority list for them. Recently, Kelly Searbaugh, Corey, and I sat down with GAI and reviewed the preliminary plans for the stormwater project and provided comments back. I know that Kelly will be reporting. He's been really, him and his staff working very diligently on some outstanding questions. The board earlier this evening approved for us to seek quotations for geotechnical services. Lay terms, that's soil borings, to find out what kind of soil conditions we have in that project area. As you know from our last project, we encountered some rather unsuitable soils, to say the least. It cost us an awful lot of extra money for the utility, so we want to be very cautious as we approach this. And then I want to invite all of you to the 205 public hearing. That's the 18th of this month, YMCA at 6:30 in their front room. That's when the famous unveiling of the design will finally be allowed.
What's the date?
18.
That's all I've got this time.
Questions, Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Terry?
I only have a couple things because I was on vacation last week. We received part of our new 911 equipment was installed last week, and we're hoping that the majority of it will be done by the end of the month, so that system should be up and running. And next week, all of our dispatchers have to attend some training on the new system, so they'll be up to speed on it when we activate it. That's all I had tonight.
Questions to Terry? Thank you, Terry. Mike?
Today we got the distributed the copy of the draft CSO operational plan, and we'll be reviewing that over the next couple of days before we send that off to IDEM for approval. In the earlier meeting, I thanked everybody and was very impressed the way that groups came together and put this together. I think it turned out really well. Put together a really nice plan that's going to be workforce well, I believe, and save a lot of money by doing it in-house. All the cranes at the facility have Crane's had their yearly inspections. A few minor things we'll have to take care of and easily do every year. I don't have their complete report yet. I should have that by the end of this week or next week. Started industrial sampling for the first quarter of this year, and we'll continue with that. That'll take the next week and a half to 2 weeks to complete that. Tomorrow I meet with the program director of the ICE program to the high school to see what their program can offer to us as a department, and then also what we can offer to that program as a department too. So I'm excited about that, to see what comes from that. You know, we've been working on cleaning up around the facility from over the winter, stones that have been pushed off into the grass and things that are just laying around, and just cleaning up. So I got
questions of Mike. Thank you, Mike. Sean.
Well, this week we had a couple service upgrades in town. Customers requesting larger services for the facility or the building. Let's get the utility. We had two new requests for new services today, which has been a trend lately. I guess for the spring weather, that we'll have that. But it's been encouraging to see a lot of new services come in. Mostly residential, obviously. We began the tree seeding and strawing process for the trees that were removed from the tree board last year. We ground out all the stumps and fill that back in with some good topsoil and seed and straw to complete that project. That started, that will be finished likely this week. We began the dirt work for our new welcome sign on the south side of town, coming to the town south, State Road 9. We got some dirt out there. You might know some houses are, we'll be moving that around a little bit and working on that project. We began using some of the new software that was purchased just at the last Board of Works meeting, or was approved at the last Board of Works meeting. We started using some of that software on a couple of computers as kind of guinea pigs, and so far it's going really well, and I think it's going to be a valuable tool for us. We finished a boring project on North Columbia Parkway. We had that section of wires there.
Boring as in boring through the ground.
Boring under the ground.
Just to be clear, boring through the ground.
So yeah, that the boring process is finished. Now it's trenching and backfilling and things like that. So that'll be finished in the next couple of weeks. Our logo contest for the high school has been extended. I spoke with the art director, our team today, and he wants to extend the project a little bit longer to give the students an opportunity to design a logo for our electric department. We've seen some of the results come in. We're very excited with some of them. A lot of them, the kids did great work, and we're excited to be partnered with them on that. Also, the Indiana Municipal Electric Association, who provides us with all of our training and some other support, has two conferences a year. The spring conference, Columbia City has been chosen to host the conference. We don't have a facility here in town to host this many guests. We will be having out of the city, but in Warsaw, and they wanted to make sure that I invited all councilmen and Board of Works and what left to the May 8th banquet, and I'll be getting all of you an email. We'll be having banquets for the conference, and you guys will all be invited, and I'll set you get emails out to everyone to see who can make it. We'd love to see all of you there.
I think they're going to be celebrating, Larry.
We
just
are,
so you know.
We are going to be doing a yes, a very intimate celebration for retiring. And that's all.
Okay. Sean, I did want to let you know, I think we have a date for the youth council members to help with, or to do the dirt moving and all that kind of stuff for that welcome sign. So I just got to make sure it's confirmed tomorrow, and then I'll let you know. I think it's going to be middle of next week. Okay. Questions? Okay. Thanks, Sean. Tim?
Morning. Police Officer John Stoffel is doing a great job in the FTO program. That's the field training program. He's been on second shift for a couple of weeks. Next week he will be on third shift with the canine officer riding with him for a week. At the end of the month, we will evaluate where he is in the field training process, and eventually we'll be into a rotation on second shift. Our three new reserve officers continue to train and do ride-alongs with the full-time officers. and they will be sworn in at the next council meeting 2 weeks from tonight. Our 10 new laptops are in, and all the software has been put on those 10 laptops, so the next week or so, those will be installed in the vehicles, and then those officers will receive training on those operating systems with the laptops. G and I have started work on updating our police department website. She's attended some college courses on website design, and we're working on updating our website. Training continues to be a priority. We have many officers again this month that will be attending outside training courses, including the captain. I will be going on at the end of the month to deal with the school safety and security. And then tomorrow we have a command staff meeting that's scheduled for tomorrow. That's it.
Questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Kelly?
Yeah, we were working down on the Southwest Stormwater Project for GAI. They had a couple dig-ups they needed from us to find a CSO pipe. It took a couple days, and then we did some televising down there for some sewer lines to give them information they needed on that project. Brush pickup started this week for the monthly pickup. That's the first month of it. And had a few sewer castings that we need to change out that have concrete lids on them, and we wanted to get standard castings put on them so they're easier to access. And we'll be working down at the cemetery. We have our annual cleanup, spring cleanup, and getting ready for the mowing crew to come in. We're going to be doing some seeding and dirt work down there. That's all I have right now.
Questions for Kelly?
I have one concern on the cemetery. I had a gentleman stop me the other day and showed some concern that some of the graves had sunk several inches.
And that'll be part of the, we'll go through every row and check and try to level everything up while we're doing the ones that were from over the winter.
Okay, thank you.
What causes that, Kelly?
Just settling out.
Okay.
You know, backfill them and they just work around the vault and just settle.
They just settle, yeah. Okay. It's not like they're falling into the river or anything like
yeah.
that. So just wanted to make, I'm sure there's potential somebody drew that conclusion. So, okay, very good. Mike?
We finally got our state highway permit on the frontage road 109 intersection where they had some right-of-way issues trying to decide whose property was what out there. So we started laying some water main. We got 250 feet in, plus a hydrant assembly. Now we're ready to start boring under the first driveway, so we'll start working pretty heavy on that in the next couple weeks. We put three new meter settings in and turned a new service on. Most of that's been in Eagle Glen and Deer Chase. We had 14 disconnects for non-pay last week. We've been cleaning up the easement by the old CVS where we have the water main runs over toward the water tower. And we're getting ready to start doing some work on our consumer confidence report that's due by July 1st. And then also been doing some work on our water plant buildings, maintenance on that. And I'll actually get a report out to you guys later this week. But since I've been gone for a while, I haven't been able to get them caught up yet. That's it.
Okay. Questions, Mike? Thanks, Mike. Tom?
Well, we've been doing our regular things. Also, for the media, if you want to put in a question, spring is upon us. People will start wanting to do campfire, recreational fires, and things like that for family cookouts. That's all under ordinance. It's 94.071. If you want to look that up or publicize that number so people can look it up under the city's ordinances, it gives them the guidelines of what we require for such cookout events. That would be great.
A lot of that's based on state statute, is it not?
It is based directly upon state statute.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? To clarify, there's a call for a nuisance firm. The fire department's required to show put it out, correct?
We are required to put it out and it cannot be relit. Again, that's under items, Clean Air Act.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Tom. Marsha?
Nothing.
Rosie? Jackie. I just want to, you know, invite you, if you're interested, Rosie and Bill and Tom and I are participating in the center's cook-off on Thursday. We will be cooking against three other teams, all for the benefit of the center, which is a great, great cause, a great, I hate to use the word ministry because they're not necessarily a ministry, but a great organization for our community. So that's all I have.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a letter in the mail for our floodplain maps that have been generated. So if you got that letter, take it very serious. We worked with the county. I got some of the new floodplains. Mm-hmm. You really need to take the meeting serious that they're presenting. Give you an opportunity to speak on your behalf of some of these new lines that are being drawn. It's quite interesting. It does affect some of the city residents.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come up and take a look at them in my office, you're more than welcome to.
I think there's a public hearing on it and I don't remember the date, but I know it's between 7 and 9.
Yeah, well, I think there's two meetings.
Oh,
one's basically for city and one's for county, if I recall.
Oh, okay.
But I can't remember that.
Yeah.
But take a look at your, yes.
I just want to clarify something that Ben asked me a few moments ago.
Has nothing to do with floodplain mapping.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Absolutely.
No, go ahead. It just struck me when I completely disrupted everything. In reference to putting out the fires, if there is some judgment that can be used, if the fire is within the guidelines, any ordinance, and the smoke is not affecting the neighbor by wind direction, the fire department does have the discretion to leave that fire burn. But if the smoke would be adversely affecting a neighbor or is in violation of the ordinance, then that would come into play.
And that's why he's fire chief. Good job, Tom.
Sorry.
Do you have anything else?
No, I don't know.
Tom, you have anything else? Ben?
The nuisance ordinance, or the ordinance committee met last week. We're supposed to meet again Thursday. Marcia, have you had a chance to review?
I've reviewed your notes.
Are you on schedule to meet Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of our ordinances have not been updated since the 40s and 50s, so we're going through them one by one and cleaning them up. So.
Yes. It's amazing what fun ordinances you find from the 40s and 50s in our ordinance book that need to be checked. Okay. Thanks, Ben. Nicole. Bill?
I'm just glad you clarified why Tom was fire chief.
Sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes that's necessary. Okay. Press?
Yes, you can.
And yes, audience, anything else? Yes.
I just want to commend you. I realize it's exasperating because you know these ordinances inside and out and draft them. Then you have to explain to us who don't know a thing about them. Mm-hmm. And for you to take the time you did on the IURC, yeah, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Okay, then we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.